Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
As a sports station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing on what. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say
you better.
Monday. Hey Jeffrey, I got good news and bad news for you. I just looking at a 2025 NFL mock draft.
Oh yeah,
and your Giants didn't have a very good year this coming year.
That's to be expected.
This
yes.
coming year, they did not have a very good year.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking sixth
again.
They get their quarterback of the future, though.
Mm-hmm.
They get their quarterback of the future.
Shedeur
Sanders. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Wants
now
to go
cold,
to New York.
Though.
It is cold. Does Deion want it? Yeah, Deion didn't want him to go to a place where it's cold.
Deion wants him to be a dome quarterback.
But it is, it's the Big Apple.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything that goes
concrete
with
jungle,
that.
Yeah.
So.
Lights will excite you.
Anyway, today on the radio show, let's see. Dan Devine's going to join us to talk about the NBA. Chris Harrington's going to join us to talk about the NBA and soccer, evidently, because Chris was at a soccer match this weekend. So we'll talk to him about that. And then we have a Aram Gudzusian from the University of Memphis, who's a professor over there, who's been on our show before. He's going to join us in the last segment. Dr. Gudzusian and I are at Novel Bookstore tonight at 6 o'clock.
Ooh.
He has edited a book. Stan Isaacs was a very famous columnist in New York in the 60s, 70s, basically. He was the lead columnist at Newsday, and he has... he had an unfinished memoir. He passed away. He had an unfinished memoir, and Aram Gudzusian he's doing a project on sports writing in the 1960s and how basically, in addition to being about sports, it gave you a window on the wider tumultuous cultural world and political world of the 1960s, and how that was reflected in sports writing. And that's how he ran into this unfinished memoir by Stan Isaacs. And so he's edited and finished the memoir. And so, and it's now been published, and he's going to be talking about that memoir tonight. But in the thought was, and it was his idea, is that as he'd invite me and we'd talk about sports writing and sports generally, both in the 70s and the 80s and today and into the future. So I'll certainly be talking about his book, which is called Out of Left Field, A Sports Writer's Last Word. But we'll also be talking about sort of larger issues. I mean, the book in here, he's written about, you know, you think about the 60s and 70s in sports, and it was it was Muhammad Ali, and it was Jackie Robinson, and it was Bill Russell, and it was free agency coming, right?
Sure.
And it was the 1972 Olympics when you had the slaughter of the terrorist taking of Israeli athletes, and then you had the 68 Olympics, Mexico City, where you had the Black Power protests, and so he, in addition to this all the sports stuff, Don Larson's perfect game in 1956, which he covered, and the U.S. basketball team in 1972 losing, and all that. The people that he runs into and writes about, Jack Kerouac, Norman Mailer, Richard Nixon, Bull Connor, Woody Allen.
That is range.
I mean, he plays stickball. He plays a stickball game with Woody Allen and Paul Simon. You know, the old idea that, I don't even know what the hell stickball exactly is. It's this game they played on stoops in New York. You hear, you know, whatever, in the streets of New York. And so he ended up playing a stickball game with Woody Allen, Paul Simon, this columnist, et cetera. He's also very interested. This sort of the rise of TV and John Madden,
sure,
and all of that. He became a TV columnist. Anyway, we'll talk to Dr. Kazuzian about that in the last segment. And then again, tonight, if you want to join the conversation at 6 o'clock at Novel, we'll be doing that tonight. So that's the lineup. We got Dan Devine, and then we got Chris Harrington, and then we got Dr. Aram Gazuzian from the University of Memphis. So it will be a busy day. In addition, we've got, we're not going to talk a lot about the NBA in this first segment because we've got two segments talking about it. We got Dan Devine talking about it, and we got Chris Harrington talking about it. Did you have any wagers on the NBA this weekend?
Let's see. Yes, I had the Knicks yesterday. My buddy wanted to do a vibes play, so we took that. And then we also took first half Bucks that lost. And we also had a money line parlay, but it was ruined by the Mavericks losing. So a little 1-2 weekend.
It struck me there were two themes. One is the injury's just kind of insane, right? Like, even the players who are healthy aren't healthy.
Aren't looking, right? Yeah, right.
And
don't
Bede
look right.
And Luka, and so the players who are healthy aren't
Dame,
healthy.
I mean.
And then the ones, yeah, well, then Dame is out now,
yeah,
right? And so then you've got Dame out, you got Giannis out, you got Jimmy Butler out, you got Zion out, you got already had Julius Randle out, and now you've got, you know, again, you got Luka hampered, you got Embiid hampered. And so that was one theme. It's just kind of crazy. I don't recall it being like this. I just don't recall back in the Celtics-Lakers days, right, or the Pistons-Bulls days, that things were decided by who was injured.
Yeah, it does feel like, though, it's been trending that way, though.
Well, Kawhi's another one, right?
I mean, to me, like, it feels like the last few playoffs have been decided. I mean, like, we even think about...
It certainly has been back to the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies run. It just, in my memory, it was not like this. Back in the old days when players played every game.
Right, that's always the question for me. It's like, and I'd have to like go back and look, but it's like...
Maybe I'm just forgetting.
Is it we're more aware of the injuries?
Of course,
or...
you know, Magic Johnson started at center,
sure,
in game 7 because of an injury.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, that was one clear theme. And then the second theme is it just feels like a passing of the torch, right?
Yes, I definitely think that's, to me, the key thing is it does feel like we are in this transition of, we are moving out from
LeBron, Steph, Durant, KD, and
even Kawhi probably.
Yeah, and moving into Anthony Edwards, thank you very much.
Or, you know, to the Jokic, is Giannis going to be, I mean, that's the problem. Giannis isn't on the floor. It's like, right. Is Giannis in this next crop? Because
it's Oklahoma City. It's Anthony Edwards. It's the Celtics and their accumulation of talent. So anyway, we'll talk more about that with Dan Devine and with Chris Harrington in the next two segments. Before then, I wanted to get to two things. I want to talk about Penny Hardaway, and I wanted to talk about the NFL draft.
Okay.
First, as to Penny, he did his last coach's show, TV coach's show last night, and said some interesting things. And you know Penny. You know what Penny is more than anything else?
One that holds everything back?
Well, no, confident. He's confident. Mm-hmm. He's always confident, right?
Yes.
And so the two things that he was confident about last night, I want to get your sense of your level of confidence.
All right.
Okay? So one, he is still confident that David Jones will be a Memphis Tiger next year. What's your level of confidence?
I'm still coin flipping.
51.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like it fluctuates. Some days I'm 49. I just think, like, I've decided it feels like a coin flip to me. It seems to me, through conversations that I've had, A, no one knows for certain, but it seems to me if some team told him, hey, even if we don't take you, we're going to do a two-way for you,
it
seems to me
he's gone. That. I don't see it.
You don't see him being offered a two-way?
I don't decent money on a two-way. Look at his game.
I think it's literally as simple as, will someone come up and say, like the Warriors did, right, with Lester, even if we don't take you, here's a two-way.
I don't have nearly the confidence in his game translating that I do in Lester's translating. Because Lester was going to be a role player in the NBA and had a game game suited for it. David Jones is going to be a role player in the NBA and does not have a game suited for it.
I guess the way that I would say it is it only takes one team.
That's true.
And then the other thing I would say is at this point heading into the combine, I do think David and Lester were in similar positions. Even though I'm with you, if I'm projecting, I think I would say
I have the benefit of knowing that Lester worked out, but still.
Correct.
Okay, second thing he was confident about was that everyone is, the roster is going to be assembled, and everyone will be on campus by early June.
Early June. Okay, so when do the draft guys have to withdraw?
Certainly by early June.
So I feel better saying, I think that's optimistic, but I think that this team could be ready to go by like July.
But they still got how many scholarships? Five?
That sounds correct.
I do think it's a priority for him.
I also am not super worried, like, oh, if they have like 11 guys.
Right. No, yeah, that's true. They don't need to fill them all.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yes.
Let's not.
Correct.
You know what I mean? fewer options.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when you're at the buffet, you
correct.
Know. Yeah. You limit my options
a little bit. It's the same thing. It's my Cheesecake Factory rule.
Cheesecake is excessive.
Well,
crazy.
I figured this out my freshman year when I was in college when we went to the Cheesecake Factory pretty frequently. I would tell whoever was sitting across from me, pick a number like 5 through 17, because that was the pages that had the entrees. And whatever number that person picked, I would turn to that page and I'd order off that. Like, you have to limit
yourself.
You
know who else does that? Like Mulan, the restaurant.
Yes.
The crazy. Just
it's like every Asian culture. Yes.
Too much. I think a 3-page menu is basically the correct number of pages for a menu.
Yeah. I mean,
no. Once I'm over three, I don't need it. I don't need it.
Have you ever gone to a restaurant that hands you one page and been like, I really need more?
Right. It's just like a resume.
Yeah.
Your resume should fit on a page, and your menu should really fit on a page. Okay. So that's the second thing he was confident. And third thing he's confident is that he can set up a series with Arkansas, now that Calipari is at Arkansas. What's your level of confidence there?
So, series to me implies, at the minimum, home, and neutral. So, like, one in Memphis, one in Arkansas, one in Little Rock. I have less confidence in that.
Well, this is what he said.
All right.
I think we can finally get Cal to play us over at Arkansas. Now, I don't know if he meant to play us over at Arkansas or like Cal, comma, over at Arkansas. I think now that he's at Arkansas. In other words, which did he mean? I think we can finally get Cal to play us over at Arkansas.
My interpretation of that is Cal now that he's at Arkansas.
Yeah, I think that it didn't mean to play us over at Arkansas, although that may be it. Anyway, because the Arkansas fans want the game. We couldn't do it at Kentucky, but I think because the Razorbacks want that rivalry back, the fans might kind of force his hand. Okay, so
the latter part I'd push back on.
That, with all due respect, is preposterous. You cannot force John Calipari's hand. You know what? I think the Tennessee fans would want to play Memphis. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever the head coach wants,
a lot of the local SEC schools, as long as the game's not tied to a football series,
right?
They're fine playing series.
So, and the idea that Cal's the one who, when he came to Memphis, abandoned all these series, even though the fans wanted him.
Yeah,
he doesn't give a damn what the fans want.
No,
you know what he knows the fans want?
Wins.
Winning.
Yes,
winning. They want recruiting classes because then you have hope. They want hope. And razzle dazzle, and his words at the press conference, and wins. That's what they want. And he knows that as long as he gives them that, then it doesn't matter who he plays. Yeah, the idea that Cal is going to be forced into this because of the demands of the Arkansas fans is silly. Now, the idea that it might happen anyway, I think it could happen, but I'm dubious that it's going to happen at Memphis. That there's going to be a home game against Arkansas at Memphis.
Yeah, you can talk me into maybe the Little Rock game. I think the other key point to note is when Cal was at Kentucky, it opens up a lot different home and homes than it does for Arkansas. You know what I mean? Like when he wants to schedule the UCLA series,
right,
the
yes.
Kansas
series. Oh, no,
series,
yes. He can get
that a lot easier.
Kentucky can do anyone they want. And mind you, with Cal, Arkansas will have more attractiveness.
No question.
But anyway, so those are the things that Penny was confident about, and as to them, I'd say we're a coin flip on David Jones. We think he will have the team assembled earlier this year, but maybe not by early June.
I do not think we're going to have a player added in December. Is that me wishful thinking?
Player pops, you know, like, is he going to be able to resist? And then if it involves a home game against Arkansas, I'm a little less convinced. But there you go. All right. Again, we're going to talk about the NBA in the next two segments. We got Aram Gazouzian from the University of Memphis after that. I did want to, however, wrap up the NFL draft. I'm going to start by telling you what the draft's going to look like next year, right? It's never too early, right? Never too early. You can pick your own way too early mock draft. They're at least a little more accurate than the way too early NBA mock drafts because those players are still in high school or you don't know who's going to declare or you don't know. Whereas here, you have a pretty good sense. You know?
Who's coming out.
You have a pretty good sense who's going to be eligible and who's going to be good.
Yeah.
Right? So bad news for Titans fans. They are the worst team in the league this coming year. This coming year, they are the worst team in the league.
I think that's pessimistic, right?
I think it is, too. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league.
I don't think that division's, like...
Well, who is going to be the worst team in the league?
I mean, the Giants are going to be up there. Let's see. Who else?
Pats are going to be bad.
Pats are going to be bad. The Jets are always capable of being the Jets.
Yeah, but I don't. The Jets aren't going to be. Even this past year, as much as a mess as they were not even close to it because they've got a great defense. So they're not going to be the worst team in the league.
The Raiders?
Raiders could be really bad, but they got, you know, Gardner's going to win them some.
What about the Broncos?
With Bo Nix as a rookie quarterback? Yeah, they could be bad.
That could be up there.
Anyway, Titans in this mock draft, Titans had the first pick, and they picked Carson Beck of Georgia.
I think if you made me bet today. Who goes 1-1? That's who
and
I would
so that
on.
Means the Will Levis experiment does not work. They are the worst team in the league. That's what's projected here.
Yes.
And that Carson Beck is the number one pick.
If they're picking number one, the Will Levis thing didn't work.
Michael Williams, who's the edge rusher from Georgia, the Georgia players go 1-2, goes to the Pats with the third pick. Other notables, it's interesting because we got some Ole Miss and Tennessee players.
Okay.
James Pierce, the edge from Tennessee, is the fifth pick in the draft. Walter Nolan, the
defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle from Ole Miss, is the seventh pick in the draft. He goes to the Vikings, who are going to be bad. Let's see. And then other notables, you've got Travis Hunter from Colorado. He's going to Tampa at 10. Another quarterback, Cam Ward, is quarterback two. You buying that?
So Cam Ward can be quarterback two. I'm also in the mode with Cam where it's like, I need to see more consistency out of him.
He goes to the Saints at 13.
But there's no question he is like toolsy as all get out.
And Drew Allar.
Yeah, just don't tell me he's going to the Giants. I want nothing
he's
to do
with him.
He's
going to the Jets.
Okay.
At 20.
Enjoy. That's new Hackenberg.
So
didn't the Jets draft Hackenberg?
Yeah, they did. That is exactly right.
That's new
did
Hackenberg.
They draft Hackenberg? Yes, they did.
I'm pretty
they
sure
did.
That's who they did.
Christian Hackenberg. Yeah. All tools.
Yep. Looks like a quarterback,
looks like a quarterback
until the game starts.
Okay. So in terms of the draft itself, the local news was I was wrong about Blake Watson. I'm willing to say it. I thought he'd get drafted late, and he did not get drafted at all, and signed as a free agent to Denver, $250,000 guaranteed, with a $250,000 contract. I'm sorry, with a $25,000 bonus. Jalen Allen, also from the University of Memphis, also went to Denver. Joe Skates signed as a unrestricted free agent. All these are undrafted free agents. Went to Jacksonville. And Jeffrey Cantuarcu went to Miami on a purely tryout, kind of, you know, mini camp tryout basis. So there you go. Jalen Wright, the running back from Tennessee,
went to the Dolphins. And I mean, that's
just seems crazy to me, though, doesn't it? Like, do they not have enough speed even in the backfield?
I'll say, what is Jalen Wright?
His speed.
What do they want to assemble a track team?
What did they did they not last year get a running back with speed who took the NFL by storm?
I mean, they did, but I think what their argument is like, hey, we got guys hurt. Well,
I mean, they do love speed, so that certainly made some sense. I guess once you take into account their love of speed. Other things from the draft. Well, we saw the run of quarterbacks, 6 in the first 12.
Yep.
Not another quarterback picked until Spencer Rattler in the 5th round goes to the Saints. There were 137 picks made without taking a quarterback. And then you got Spencer Rattler going to the Saints. You had Jordan Travis, the injured FSU quarterback, going in the same in the 5th round to the Jets. You had Joe Milton going to the Pats in the 6th round. They, of course, already took Drake May in the 6th round. Joe Milton says he does not want to be converted away from being a quarterback. You had Michael Pratt, the Tulane QB, going 7th round to Green Bay. But this makes all the sense in the world to me because the fact that you had the run at the top and then you had 137 picks without a quarterback. Because, some people say, well, quarterback people panic and they reach and whatever else, and the teams that needed quarterbacks got quarterbacks, et cetera. It's not necessarily true. Raiders still didn't get one, right? But it makes sense because a B-minus quarterback or a B quarterback, right? But it's only a B-minus quarterback. Does you no good. Doesn't get on the field. B-minus quarterback.
Oh, B-minus rookie. What you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But a B-minus. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You, in other words, you pick quarterbacks to be great. Yeah. Right? You want a great quarterback or a very good quarterback. If you got just a middling, run-of-the-mill, okay quarterback, you're dead. And so, whereas if you want to get a guard in the third round or fourth round, that person can be a rotational player. Like, that's what you see. Players are taking rotational defensive tackles, right? Or defensive rotational guards or the second or third tight end. Only one quarterback plays. So unless you're getting a stud, and if it's going to be a stud, you take them at the top of the first. because right. it's going to be, you think it's going to be a stud. After that, I think the dumbest thing in the world is third round quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think what we've seen was for a while there was this idea of get some quarterback depth in the draft. Maybe you develop and maybe it turns out. Now what we're seeing is guys are saying we will take the chance that this guy's our guy, that we're getting the guy that's going to play for 10 to 15 years for us. That's the first round guy. And then they fill in depth with your Trubisky's of the world, your Gardner's.
Right. Well, it's funny because they asked Brandon Bean, do you ever think about taking a quarterback? He's the Bills GM. They got, you know, Josh and then Trubisky, right? And
yes.
So you can imagine third a developmental young quarterback would be good, right?
Sure.
What he said was, honestly, like, they probably want that person on the practice squad. He said, and if someone is highly thought of around the league, you're not even going to be able to keep him to develop him, right?
Yeah.
He'll be plucked off your practice squad. So a rookie fifth round pick can't be your backup because he's not ready to play. And so he's probably your third quarterback, unless you don't have any aspirations to actually be good. Then he can be your backup, right? And so
maybe your starter.
It makes all the sense in the world. And then I think Spencer Rattler going to the Saints is a good place to go, right?
Yeah, no, I actually think Rattler could wind up working.
It could work, yeah. We pointed out that's one of the places where they sort of have an answer at quarterback, but do you believe in the answer?
No.
Right? So there you go. That was one phenomenon from the draft. We also had we have the conference scoreboard. The SEC, no surprise, led the way with 60 players drafted. The Pac-12 went out with a bang.
Yes, they did.
It's really kind of sad. That's freaking tragic. The idea that they just destroyed the Pac-12 is still mind-boggling. 43 players taken from the Pac-12. The Big Ten had 42. The ACC had 41. So very closely clustered together. The Big 12, 31. The Sun Belt beats the AAC, 6-5. See that?
Yeah,
Michigan with 13 led the way. Texas with 11 led the way. Texas is back. And then Alabama, Florida State, and Washington each with 10. Who was good? Michigan was good. Texas was good. Alabama was good. Florida State was good. Washington was good.
Yep.
So that was no particular surprise. Let me ask you, Jeffrey, top of your head, running backs, safeties, linebacker. The first player picked, don't look, first player picked at each of those positions. Which went first, which went second, and which went third? Safety, was the first linebacker taken ahead of the first running back, ahead of the first safety? What was the right order there?
So
those are the three positions. I mean, punter was obviously the last one. Kicker was the last one. The Iowa punter was taken by Chicago before any kicker was taken. And the joke, of course, has been made that Chicago got the best offensive player from USC, the best offensive player from Washington, and the best offensive player from Iowa in the punter.
Yes, of course. All right, so I think doing this from memory.
Devalued positions. It's so close that you probably.
No, because I think this was Friday because you and I were texting. I'm pretty sure it went running back, safety, linebacker.
It actually went Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, at 45.
Okay.
Jonathan Brooks, running back. He went to Green Bay, right? Yeah. And then Jonathan Brooks, running back, went to the Panthers. Texas running back went to the Panthers at 46. And Tyler Wooten, safety, unless you count. Or are you counting Cooper DeJean? If you're counting Cooper DeJean.
I do think Cooper's actually going to play corner.
So then Tyler Wooten to the Giants went at 47.
I mean, I think Cooper's going to play everywhere.
He's going to play everywhere.
Did we ever confirm? I know you and I were texting. We figured that had to be the latest a linebacker's ever been taken.
I think it's the latest linebacker. And honestly, it shows you that, I mean, it wasn't a great year for linebackers,
right.
But linebackers are devalued. It wasn't a great year for safeties. Safeties are devalued. Like, you'll see monster safeties who are taken in the first round. You'll see monster linebackers who are taken in the first round, particularly if they're edge rushers. And you'll see monster running backs the way we did last year,
yep.
Taken in the first round, but not this year. Titans. We'll touch on the, if we're calling them a local team, Titans. J.C. Latham was their first pick. We believe they wanted Alt, but settled for J.C. Latham. And then they take the big defensive tackle from Texas in the second round.
Yep.
Devondre Sweat.
Listen, I've got a policy, and I love this pick.
You, I'll say this. So he's known for being giant and out of shape, mm-hmm. and he got a DUI right before the draft.
Correct. Now, important to note on that DUI, he got run into.
Is that true?
Yeah, the wreck happened. It wasn't his fault, but
they discovered that he was drunk.
Also, he showed up the next day for his meeting with the Titans. That showed commitment.
And let's be honest, Jeffrey Simmons is awesome.
Uh-huh.
Jeffrey Simmons, what did he have?
He had a few red flags.
He had a few red flags. And you know what he is?
And we also had video.
We had video. And he is freaking awesome.
Yes, he is.
And so I don't think Devondre Sweat is going to be as awesome because he's more of a running back.
We are not playing him on third down.
He's a space eater. But he will, whatever. They're going to be bad. I do believe they will be bad. So what did they get? They did they got meat. Right?
They got
meat and potatoes.
Correct.
You know? They got meat and potatoes, which I think is a smart thing to do. Receivers, 16 in the first three rounds. When the Patriots took Jalen Polk at 37, that was with pick 37, they take Jalen Polk, who's the guy who's got unbelievable hands out of Washington.
Yes.
He's not fast, but he's the best hands in the draft. He was the 10th receiver taken.
So basically one out of three picks at that
one
point.
One out of three picks. Well, one out of four. Yeah. It's closer to 40. One out of four picks at that point were receivers. Speaking of receivers, Denver gets Bo Nix in the first round. And then, to make him feel comfortable, they had Troy Franklin, also from Oregon, his favorite receiver, in the fourth round, top of the fourth round.
I don't know. Obviously it can be somewhat confirmation bias. Franklin is a guy that he is a blazer. There's no getting around it. But he was also one of those guys. I watched a ton of Oregon this year, and I'm like, I don't know. And you kept seeing him getting mocked late first at some places, high second. The fact that he went to the fourth was like, okay, I feel somewhat that my opinion was
vindicated.
Yes.
There has been a focus on teams that did not take a certain position. The Raiders did not take a quarterback, and Dallas did not take a running back, which was a big surprise. And now it appears that Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to work out a deal today.
They're going to seem to work out a deal with Zeke Elliott back in Dallas, which honestly probably makes sense, right?
Yeah, we've discussed when Jerry gives somebody a ton of money, he can't quit him. You know, he needs to bring him back.
So there you go. Okay. I think that's the...
We had a Yale guy drafted.
There was a Yale guy drafted. The astonishing thing about the Yale guy drafted, he was an offensive tackle. And he was offered lots of NIL money.
To transfer,
leave Yale. And he said, you know what? I like Yale.
Yeah.
And actually, you sort of get that. Yale is, with all due respect, Yale is Yale. You know what I mean? If you like being there and you like all the things that Yale will bring you apart from football, it might make sense. He wasn't a big shocker. Honestly, a bigger shocker is the Bills drafted a guy who has never played football at any level.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
How about that? They drafted a rugby player in the seventh round who's going to be a guard.
Didn't somebody sign a rugby guy a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Well, and the Eagles have an offensive lineman who is a rugby player. And so, but this dude, literally all he's done is worked out. But he's not like a rugby player who played a year in for the Frankfurt Galaxy or whatever the hell,
the WFL.
Or some minor league. He literally has never played football.
Yeah.
And, but the NFL, if you get someone from their international feeder system, they give you a roster exemption spot.
There you go.
And so, seventh rounder might not make the team, and this way you can just keep him there and teach him how to play. Okay, here's how you put out your helmet on.
You might like get an extra roster spot out of it.
And then you do get an extra. Unless you say him to be worthless, you get an extra roster spot out of it, so you can just keep him around and teach him to play football over the next year. $700,000 at least was the estimate over the 3 days. New record. Did you like the fact, maybe you didn't see it because you don't believe in watching Saturday, but on Saturday,
I sadly did.
On Saturday, all of the Detroit staffers showed up wearing Dan Campbell's number 89.
Yeah, I saw that. I like that. I mean, Dan Campbell, I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, he's setting the culture there.
And then whose draft did you like?
I mean, I hate to say it, but God, I thought the Chargers, like, and this is scary to me. And granted, like, part of this is, like, I heard Daniel Jeremiah talk about this. When you grade the draft, more times than not, what you're doing is you're just confirming your own preconceived notions.
Who knew that the Rams were going to crush it last? Was everyone last year saying, you know what, I think Puka Nacua is going to just tear it up? That dude, what a steal. What a steal. I see him as a rookie of the year.
Right.
No one, the Rams included, thought that. Or they wouldn't have taken him.
They would have taken him way sooner.
Right, exactly. So it's a little ridiculous, this enterprise. I do think, and so much of it is we match players we think are good with needs, right? And so I would start with the Eagles, with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And then they added, you know, just for fun, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., which is a nice little legacy pick for them. So it feels like they did great, if those players are great.
Correct.
By the way, going to be a very young secondary, and they're supposed to contend.
Well, I think the other thing with the Eagles secondaries, it seemed like the Eagles draft board reflected a lot of the top draft experts, and so I think they're going to get a good grade because basically everyone's like, we like these guys.
But Chargers, Joe Alt and Ladd McConkey, and you loved Ladd McConkey.
And I thought getting Junior Colson in late third, like I thought, okay, that guy's a good football player.
Harbaugh drafted two Michigan players in the third and the seventh, and they subsequently signed another unrestricted free agent. So there you go. Same thing, I thought Detroit, again, they had a need in the defensive backfield, Terrion Arnold and Rakestra from Missouri. They picked two defensive backs. I thought that was... I hate to say this from your Giants perspective, but I thought that the Commanders did well.
I did too.
And the Eagles did well. Like, they're right in your division. You've got Jaden Daniels, right? And then they got Jerzon Newton, the
tackle that was falling from Illinois.
And then they got the Michigan defensive back, who's like a playmaker. So I thought Washington did really, really well. You know, I don't know what Drake May is going to be, but I thought the Pats did pretty well. They picked up two receivers in the later rounds, the UCF receiver and Jerome Baker. And
the UCF guy had an unbelievable quote.
And it
was,
Polk.
The UCF receiver was, he said, get your popcorn ready. I'm going to make even the people in the wheelchair stand up.
Is that a great quote or is that insensitive?
I mean, listen.
Is that a great quote or is that insensitive?
It's provocative. I mean, listen, I have no idea who the Ravens picked, but I assume the Ravens killed the draft. That's just kind of what they do.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, we can grade these drafts all we want. But I do think now you just sort of wait and see. And obviously the most interesting will be the quarterbacks. You know, how does it play out in Chicago? How does it play out in Washington? How does it play out in New England? I hope disastrously. How does it? And I don't want to wish that on Drake May, but still, does it play out in Atlanta? Which the more I think about it, the less sense it makes. And then how does it play out in Denver?
I know everyone was talking about the whole. So I went back and watched the entirety of the Belichick clip about Drake May, and Michael Penix was included in this too. I understand everyone thinks like this is him being bitter and whatnot. And I'm not saying that there's not.
No, everybody says.
Like,
which
to me,
is footwork's
like,
bad.
Basically, what he was saying is if I'm picking in the top three, I would have him graded below the other two.
Right.
And guess what? I did too.
Right. And the Pats probably did too.
Yes.
He went below the other two. Yeah.
Like, I just didn't have a giant problem with it.
Right. No. And what he said was his footwork is all over the place.
And like the other thing is,
everyone says his footwork is all over the
place.
What's
a common complaint that I've had about a lot of grading and evaluating quarterbacks? Like, I don't think he reads the whole field. I'm not sure that that means he can't read the whole field. It's that right now in college football, everything's schemed up to you throw to this guy.
We got Dan Devine coming up next, Chris Harrington after that, and then Dr. Aram Gazuzian from the University of Memphis. Before then, I will tell you, if you are getting something framed, and this is a, you know, this is a time when people are making memories. They're graduating. We got Mother's Day coming up. We got Father's Day coming up. We got weddings coming up. All of that. And so whatever it is, photos or any kind of memorabilia that you want framed, you can walk into Frame Corner and buy a frame. But their specialty is custom framing. They make stuff look beautiful. They preserve memories forever. And so head on in. 5035 Park Avenue is the address, framecornermemphis.com. When we return, Dan Devine will join us. We'll talk NBA with him. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Always free.
I mean, it's free to just turn on.
Always on your radio.
So I turn on 92.9 in the shop.
Memphis' sports station.
I mean, I listen to 92.9 every day.
Always free, always on. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Pluto TV has over 300 channels and thousands of TV shows and movies for whatever mood you're in. Just open the app and something good will already be playing because it's curated by people who love TV as much as you do. So if you're in the mood for comedy, there's 18 channels that'll make you laugh. Looking for drama? We got so much of it, you'll cry tears of joy. Reality shows, game shows, sports, Star Trek, and even more Star Trek. No matter what mood you're in, there's something on Pluto TV. Just download the app and start streaming. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer Esiason here. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your game, all with the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All 650 acquisition fee, 30,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte RE756 120, MSRP 22320, EV6 P560-3393, MSRP 50,200, Telluride RG5 1041, MSRP 37935, includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 4/30/2024, dealer stock only.
Hey, Jeff Allen, what's happening over there at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah Wonderland?
Randy, we are making magic on Mount Moriah. 2024 Kia Forte LXS, 41 MPG highway, $199 a month, $34.99 due at signing. 2023 Kia EV6 win, $249 a month. And a 2024 Telluride LX front wheel drive, $369. Both $39.99 due at signing, all 24 month lease.
And 0% for 48 months on 2024 EV9. And always get peace of mind with a 10 year 100,000 mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah.
So get over there, Gossett Kia South. 2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
Don't sweat a swing and miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Baseball is America's national pastime, and BetMGM's favorite pastime is making the sport even more amazing for fans. Whether you want to bet on a no-run first inning, try a signature bet, or take home a run prop, BetMGM has a loaded lineup for all nine innings all season. season long. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks and the official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only, Tennessee only. Existing customer offer subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Visit Frontier Western Store today for new shirts and boots. Frontier is your top Carhartt store in the Mid-South. There's thousands of in-stock shirts and jeans. They have the classic K87 pocket tee in every color they make, including new ones just released. Available small to 4X. Want new jeans? Frontier has you covered with super tough work denim by Carhartt. And you've got to check out their selection of Ariat jeans for men, women, and children. You'll love how easy it is to find the size and style you need. Have you seen Frontier's remodeled world-famous boot showroom? It continues to expand. New styles by Ariat just arrived, plus plenty of in-stock proven classics, too. Whether you need work or dress boots, trust that Frontier's the place to come. See thousands of pairs of Ariat boots and thousands more by Dan Post, Corral, Durango, Rocky, Twisted X, and others. And Frontier's pricing is lower than online and chain stores, so you know just the local shop to visit. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Locally owned and operated since 1967.
A car is never just a car. Kelley Blue Book knows it's so much more than that. It's your commuting chariot, your road trip refuge, your I just need a reason to get out of the house. Your car is there for everything. And for everything car, there's Kelley Blue Book. Need a new set of wheels? Price it on Kelley Blue Book. Problem under the hood? Fix it with Kelley Blue Book. Can another car do the job better? Trade it or sell it on Kelley Blue Book. We're here mile after mile, moment after moment. Price it, fix it, trade it, sell it. KBB.com. Visit KelleyBlueBook.com to get the journey started.
DQ presents how to officially start your summer. Step one, head to the perfect spot to kick off the season, DQ. Step two, try the new Summer Blizzard menu. I mean, summer is right there in the name. And step three, dig into flavors like new peanut butter cookie dough party, new picnic peach cobbler, and more. Because with treats like these, every bite feels like you're starting summer off right. But don't wait. These flavors are only around as long as summer is. Make the season official with the new Summer Blizzard menu, only at DQ. Happy tastes good.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season on the free Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Dan Devine. He writes for Yahoo Sports, writes about the NBA. I've tweeted out his recent column on Jalen Brunson. You can read it over there at Yahoo. The podcast is No Cap Room, and it is essential. Again, on Twitter or X at Your Man Devine. Dan, I before I start with the NBA, I was following along last week with your social media feed. And one of your co-hosts said that if he could take – that eating is the most overrated thing in the world. And if he could simply take a pill and get everything that he needed for the day, he would do that. Because eating is a total waste of time, and you have to do it again every day. And it was one of the most absurd takes I've ever heard, and I wondered how you retained your remained composed.
Well, okay, so a couple things about this. One is, for the purposes of clarity, a former colleague of mine, Benjamin okay. Solak at The Ringer, does great okay. NFL work for TheRinger.com. This is as part of a podcast they do, they call the Take Purge. The similar idea of like the movies, The Purge, for one day all is legal, all is permitted, and you cannot face any repercussions from it. So this is where you get your takes off about the NFL and other things. He decided to get off the take that food, like eating is it's too much. It's too much of a hassle, and it's boring. It's bad. You can't. You just have to keep doing it. And I weep for the future. I mean, Ben is like I think 11 years old. Like I weep for the future. I weep for the way we understand how our time on this earth is intended to be spent. Somebody responded to it by saying it's a waste of time. I'm like, what is our time intended to be if not to enjoy sensory experiences like eating delicious food? I have some concerns about it, but it was in the context of this take first. So I have to just sort of acknowledge it happened. Okay. Be furious, but then let it pass.
Okay, that's fine. Suns can take the same approach to the series. Absolute debacle. By the way, I saw also on your timeline, this is the first sweep ever by a Minnesota team in a 7-game series of anything. This is
mind blowing.
And this was a mind blowing series. I guess Anthony Edwards is the headliner here.
Oh, 1,000%. But also, is in the spirit of being a radical honesty here. I picked the Suns before this series. I thought that the Suns were a bad matchup for the Wolves because of the collective shooting that they had, the way that those regular season matchups had gone. It seemed like they had a good game plan defensively on Anthony Edwards in terms of the aggressive help they showed on him that forced other Wolves to make shots. And then you were putting your fate in the hands of, you know, Karl Anthony Towns to some degree, and Naz Reid, but then also, you know, is Kyle Anderson going to be able to do that? Is not Nikhil Alexander Walker going to be able to do that? How much of you are you going to get from Mike Conley if you're able to put more size on him at the point of attack, et cetera, et cetera? And the answer to that was, yup, all those guys are going to do that. Every single person so every one of them is going to make every play they need to make the entirety of the game. And also, on the other end, all of Phoenix's fancy, get in their bag step backs kind of got swallowed up whole by an absolutely voracious defense that was huge everywhere. And there, you know, once you got past the point of they're not going to, and they weren't going to take more threes. Like the Suns are a mid-range team. They were not going to jack up the variance and jack up the three-point shooting. Another wild stat that I heard this morning was Anthony Edwards took more three-pointers last night than Kevin Durant took in the series.
That's insanity.
I mean, it's just there was one team was like optimized to understand how they needed to win, and one team was not. And whether that fall, I mean, you certainly get the feeling that that's going to fall on Frank Vogel, much as last year fell on Monty Williams. At a certain point, you wonder if the you're sort of treating symptoms rather than disease. I don't know, but the Wolves were sensational. Anthony Edwards obviously finishes off with a flourished 40 points in that absolutely dramatic dagger dunk, and then swatting Booker at the rim with 5 seconds left. But the thing that makes you, I think, most encouraged about Anthony Edwards here is when the Suns were defending him in those ways, where they were loading up on him and saying, we're going to throw three at you and make you trust the pass, he did. He seems to exude that level of confidence in those teammates, even when those guys are breaking shots. You know, Jalen McDaniels could not throw the ball in the ocean against Phoenix during the regular season. He kept the faith in him, kept trusting in him, kept feeding them the ball, and those guys all responded. So Anthony Edwards cements himself in this series as not just, you know, one of the most exciting young players in the league, but a leader that these guys will follow. And, you know, they are healthy, they are huge, they are deep, and they are on to round two.
Is the biggest story here the T-Wolves or the Suns?
Well, are you a glass half full or glass half empty person? I think the glass half full take is a superstar is born and there is a wonderful basketball team to keep watching. The way that we typically consume the sports or the way the coverage is typically presented is look at that train wreck over there and everything's on fire. And I mean, the Suns deserve that, right? Like, this is the speed. I mean, everything feels like it both happened 5 seconds ago and 500 years ago. That's just sort of the nature of an accelerated culture, I guess. But this is a team that was up 2-0 in the finals in 2021. That was 3 years ago. And since that time, the ownership has changed, but also they traded, I think three-fifths of that starting lineup. Four-fifths of that starting lineup. The only guy left is Booker. And all of the draft capital that's not nailed down to become a team that gets swept in the first round. And they are wildly over-leveraged. It is at least a little bit funny that the team owned by the great big mortgage guy is more leveraged and mortgaged than any team in the NBA. They are, like, you're now at a place where, what are your avenues out of this if you're the Phoenix Suns? Trade Kevin Durant, trade Devin Booker, find somebody, get Bradley Beal to waive the no-trade clause that he still has, and then find somebody willing to give you cents on the dollar for him to create some financial flexibility. It's a mess, and it's a mess of their own making, and it is. We are very, very, very far away from all the good vibes that attended that final team just 3 years ago.
And Frank Vogel just signed last year a 5-year, $31 million deal. So I guess it can fall on Frank Vogel.
I think Frank Vogel is in that interesting spot where it's like he is both furious and disappointed at how this all befell him, and also if it goes away tomorrow, he's going to have a pretty good life for a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely astonishing. Is the Bradley Beal one the tipping point? Like, that's the, I mean, maybe KD, like the whole thing, maybe the entire enterprise, but Bradley Beal has been a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the wild thing is Beal's inability to stay on the court this season, and there was, I mean, these are, it wasn't, you know, bumps and bruises and somebody being too soft to play or whatever. Like, he had injuries, and a back and hamstrings of, like, Siri, like, stuff that is tricky and that lingers. He played, I think, 53 games, and that's still the most games he's played in, like, 3 years. So that's the thing. That was always the big concern. If you don't get these guys on the floor enough, if you don't get them to develop chemistry enough, if you don't get to figure out what the offensive system needs to be and who needs to take a back seat and yada, 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 are you going to have answers when the toughest questions are asked of you in the playoffs? And the answer just wound up being no. But I think the most glaring thing, and the thing that Bradley Beal is going to have to wear all summer and maybe a heck of a lot longer than that, is after, I think he put up some garbage time numbers in game 3 to kind of make his stat line look pretty good. And then afterward, he's like, I've never been swept a day in my life. Not going to start now. And then Booker and Durant show up. I think they combined for 82 points or something like that yesterday. And then Bradley Beal turns in maybe the worst game I've ever seen Bradley Beal play. The kind of game where you're like, well, if he was just still in Washington, maybe the Suns win this game. And fouls out, 6 turnovers, a bunch of them in the fourth quarter. Like, this is going to hang around his neck to the extent that people even think about him, right? When they think about him, though, they're going to think about this. And barring a dramatic change in, where he comes through in major situations for Phoenix or for wherever else he winds up playing, this was a real desultory note for this all to end on in the season.
You have a column up about Jalen Brunson. He was held under wraps in the first 2 games, and then the wraps came off. certainly figured it out in game 3. What was the magic, and what was that like?
Well, I think some of it is, I mean, it's funny because Jalen Brunson is one of the, like, least quotable players in recent NBA history. Like, it's one of the reasons that every coach loves him is that he gives you basically nothing, unless he's up there cracking jokes with Josh Hart and DiVincenzo.
Right.
Every question is like, I've got to be better. I've got to be myself. I've got to take it slow. All credit to them. They deserve a lot of credit. Everybody gets credit except for Jalen Brunson. But a lot of it was, he was like, I have been a, like, tough shot maker all season, and that he wasn't making the tough shots that he was getting. They weren't getting a lot of easy ones in the first 2 games, and so some of that was they started to set some more ball screens for him up in half court, which gets the bigs who are guarding their New York centers, largely Joel Embiid, gets them further out on the floor, gives him more of a runway, and so he can either get all the way to the rim if he can scoot past the center, or if the center's back in a deep drop coverage, he can get to his mid-range game and have, like, a little more comfort there in terms of more space to get his shot off. He has been attacking Joel Embiid in the pick and roll a lot more the last couple of games, as Embiid has continued to hobble around with that knee injury. He says, all right, come on out, big guy, we're going to dance, and I'm going to see if you want to stay out here, I'm going to go around you. If you want to hang back, I feel like I'm going to be able to get to, you know, some space to get to my jumper, to get to my floater, and he just kept dropping those shots in. But then there's also just a lot of times where the last couple of games he gets to those tough shots where there's guys in his face, there's guys draped all over him, and Embiid is out there with his arm 10 feet up in the air, and he's just been able to find the touch because it'd get up over the top of him, drop in those floaters, in part because he's got the rhythm going earlier. I think that's it. He had some real struggles in the first quarter, the first couple of games, has gotten going pretty quickly these last two. And then the Knicks with their, you know, the offensive rebounding, which has been, you know, their bellwether for the last couple of years. That was, you know, back-breaking stuff against Philly in game one and again in game four. And now the Knicks are up 3-1, heading back to Madison Square Garden with a chance to close it out. And Brunson's breakout is one of the biggest reasons why.
Dan, thank you very much. The piece is up. You can read it. I've tweeted it out. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Dan Devine from Yahoo. Your man, Devine. Are you enjoying these playoffs, Jeffrey?
That series has been a great series. Shout out to Precious Chua. He had an awesome fourth quarter.
The rebounds are absolutely killing the Sixers. Yesterday was 21-8 in second chance. 2 days ago, 21-8 in second chance points. 44-32 points in the paint. Like Josh Hart, he was like couldn't hit a shot, but everything on the board. 17 rebounds for Josh Hart. Precious again, really good. So that series has been fun. I mean, the Clippers game. It was interesting. I had mixed feelings. You know, you see the Clippers blowing a 31-point lead, and I was thinking to myself as an embittered Grizzlies follower, couldn't happen to a nicer franchise, right? When Kyrie hits the shot to put them up with 2:15 left, to put Dallas up with 2:15 left, I am thinking back to that game one against the Clippers where the Grizzlies blew. What was that lead?
I thought it was 29.
It was in the 20s. And I was thinking, yeah, you taste it now, Clippers fans. But they obviously came back to win. So that's an interesting series, right? I mean,
Interesting series is the two games that they've won are the two games without Kawhi, and the two games they've lost are with
Kawhi. It felt like the two games that they've lost, they have not. Well, and there's going to be no Kawhi, it feels like. The two games they've lost, they just didn't show up to play. And then you've got Orlando, and Cleveland is now tied. Indiana, Milwaukee.
I'm not convinced, though, that series is happening. I think that might just be being played.
Matters.
I just think it might be on a soundstage in Van Nuys.
And Indiana at Milwaukee has certainly lost some steam, right, without Giannis and Dame. So that has not been.
And Middleton's even banged up.
Yeah, so, and the Lakers took one, but that didn't.
Congratulations.
It didn't persuade me of anything. Pretty good. I think it's been reasonably entertaining, but I do think there's some compelling basketball yet to come. Right?
Yeah,
you look at the next round in the West, it could be tremendous, right?
Yes.
The next round in the West could be tremendous. You're going to have, it appears, Minnesota against Denver, right?
Yes.
And it appears